B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mark it to the 46-yard line of the Lions. Back to pass. Plenty of time to Stidham. He looks. Still has time. Throws over the middle. Caught. Complete. For the Patriots and another first down, as that was Jacoby Myers. Who else? A couple of touchdown receptions in the first half, and the rookie out of NC State with a long gain there, setting up a first and 10 on the 20-yard line with 1:14 to go.
A, it was a laser beam. B, had nice patience there getting that thing into Myers in a tight window.
Again, that was the throwback on Thursday night with Stidham that should have opened your eyes. We should have gone, oh, wow, actually. Second quarter, deep in cut to Jacoby Myers, 26 yards. He had all the time in the world, but he also, if he was a skittish, happy feet kind of quarterback that he was said to be coming out of college, he would have bolted out of there. But Stidham, again, did excellent protection. He stood in the pocket and tight window throw to Jacoby Myers for 26 yards over the middle. That was one that he wasn't. The scouting report was that that's not his play. And he's going to bail out of there. He's not going to stand in there. He's not going to set his feet. Not going to make a tight window throw, and he did. And that's the one that should have opened your eyes. But you think it's gone a little bit too far, don't you, Murray?
I do, yeah. I think, and I also find the timing of it somewhat curious from some that cover the team, how they're pumping up Jarrett Stidham since...
I love this take.
Since the news on the Tom Brady contract extension, which is a fake extension. It's just a pay bump for 2019, and then he's a free agent. So it's just after all that was announced, all of a sudden I'm starting to hear from the likes of Jeff Howell at The Athletic, and no disrespect to him, I know he's down there every day, but it feels a little bit, I don't know, it feels like kind of a forced narrative of how good Jarrett Stidham looks, and I've never seen anyone look this good, not even Jimmy Garoppolo, no rookie quarterback I've seen with the Patriots has looked this good in all my years covering this team, the command and how confident he looks. He can make all the throws. Like, where was this a couple of weeks ago, prior to the Brady announcement of his contract? So I just think this helps to maybe expedite the process of pushing Tom out from Bill.
So you feel the Patriots are getting ready to move on from Tom Brady.
Bill is.
And they have activated the media cartel to push a narrative that we have this next guy who's really good.
Yes.
I love that take. It's entirely possible. I don't dispute that. Now, you watched it and play. What'd you think?
He was in command.
He was pretty good. Yeah.
He was confident. He made some really nice throws. In fact, his two best throws of the night were drops by Maurice Harris.
His third best throw of the night, dropped.
It wasn't really false advertised. It's not like they fed you. It's not like Mayock coming out and saying.
He's got first-round arm talent.
Ryan Mallon popped, and he's got first-round arm talent. And then you watched him play, and he couldn't freaking play.
Complete moron.
Okay, so Jeff Howe and some others are pumping the tires of Jarrett Stidham. Then he goes out there, and he looks like he really belongs. And he does. All that, the little stuff, was true. He was calling audibles and setting guys in the right spot.
Yeah, and the touchdown that got called back, that slant to, might have been Myers, whoever, when he reached out.
No, it was Inman, I thought.
Dontrell Inman, thank you. That play, he called an audible on that. That was what the hell am I watching here?
So, guy right out of the chute, he did. And he, they were all just sort of dialed in, and he was dialed in with them, first time out. Again, I'm going to put that on coaching and the program before the player, and if that's unfair to the player, so be it. But I know what Belichick brings to the table. I'm not sure yet about Stidham. But that is interesting. They've activated the media cartel to pump the tires of Stidham because, they're getting ready to move on from Tom Brady.
Well, what do you think there, facilitator? Well, I know you like it, but don't you find some of this stuff a little curious, how this kid's been written about just in the last week?
No, because this is how he looked. If he looked like Ryan Mallett, then I'd go back to Jeff Howe and say, now you're,
Again, you've heard the midday show. They said he's looked like garbage up until a week ago.
But you know what? There are practice players and game players. And I don't know. I can't take someone's word for it if I'm not there seeing it.
All right.
I mean, Garoppolo was supposed to have had bad practices, too.
Felger being fair for the
first time. Well, but hold on. Am I do you think Zoe might be a little slanted in the other direction? You don't think he's a Brady? I mean, would you give me a break?
Yeah, guy's putting his house on the mark and moving wherever Tom is.
Exactly.
So eloquently put it.
Yeah, Zoe and Guerrero are following Tom wherever he goes.
That being said, because I am Tom over team now, I watched that with my, kind of gritting my teeth on Thursday. It's okay, on the one end, I would like sustained success here, but on the other, it's son of a bitch.
I mean, this kid, overnight, he played a game he didn't play at Auburn. Under center, play action, 7-step drop, stand in the pocket, deliver the ball in the tight window. You know, you just don't. That's not the way all these college teams play. They're in the shotgun. They're running sideways. They're throwing wide receiver screens. They're throwing into huge windows. It's just. So you tell me, was that him? Did he always have him in that? Always had that in him, or did Bill get his hooks into him and coach him up? And I'm going to go with that second thing, which just again is the small little fake football jumping off point for the bigger one, which is I want Bill doing that for the next one, whoever that is. But again, the coverage maybe a little over the top. Jeff Howe's headline in The Athletic over the weekend. This is, wow. Headline, talent, intelligence, confidence. Stidham's ceiling with Patriots could be sky high. Howe writes, the Patriots might have struck gold. As Stidham has blown away all expectations over the past 3 months. He already looks ahead of where Jimmy Garoppolo was at this point in 2014.
Yeah.
Remember Garoppolo's first game in 2014 in the preseason?
Yep.
Oh, he lit it up or something.
Yeah, he
like
did.
13 of 14 with two touchdowns or something. He was through the roof in his first preseason game. And Howe says he's ahead of where Garoppolo was at this stage in 2014. He says, Bill Belichick and the coaching staff have also given Stidham a handful of opportunities to work with the first team offense and defense. Something that never happened during the summer of recent draft picks Jacoby Brissett and Danny Etling. And it took quite a while for Garoppolo to earn that type of trust, even for him. Howe writes that Stidham's poise, consistency, and ability to lead his teammates have been evident since he reported to Gillette Stadium in the spring. They're all traits he's shown throughout his career, conveying the tantalizing, ever-growing possibility, Murray. The Patriots have a franchise quarterback in the making.
I mean, this is so syrupy. Like, this is, it's all over the top. It's been camp in one preseason game.
And they have a franchise quarterback in the making. then the next graph, this is just for you, Murray. Suck on this for a second. Howe writes, the potential exists for Jared Stidham to be the heir apparent to Tom Brady's throne.
And maybe. But that, to me, has more to do with them, essentially, Belichick and the coaching staff, you know, rolling a pair of dice, and you get craps when you want it. Oh, you hit six, a hard six, rather. You know, it's luck. Like, that's more than anything else what it comes down to with quarterbacks. You see these guys drop from Brady to Russell Wilson. Certain guys, you know, the scouts can't figure it out. They didn't assess the talent. So maybe this is Jared Stidham again. You have to ultimately have the it factor. Yes, is any quarterback, even if you're a stiff like Matt Castle, you know, you're better off being.
Does Garoppolo have the it factor?
No.
Yes.
Murray.
No.
Yes.
Murray.
Yes.
No.
Murray. Not when you're made of glass.
No, Murray. So wait, you can say he's fragile. You can say he's
part of that it, the
overrated,
that,
but yeah. Do you know how many comeback wins he had for San Francisco when he took over in that year? And the sort of knack that he showed you, how many games he won him?
What crap were they playing those seven games he started the end of that year?
Murray, it's about 2 minutes left on the clock. You got the ball at your own 19-yard line. You need to drive 60 yards for a field goal, and he did that a couple times that year.
He did it here against Arizona.
He did it. Of course he did it. You don't think
the kicker missed the kick for Arizona. They should have lost that game.
No, but Garoppolo got the Patriots into place. He's not responsible for his defense.
No, nope, no.
Even so, Team Brady.
I mean,
we've got a quarterback here.
Come on, look. If you want to say Garoppolo's not going to make it because he takes too many chances and is fragile,
that's part of the it. That's the intangible.
No, it's not.
Don't be fragile.
You've been talking about all day about 4 minutes left, ball in your hands. What do you got? Then we find out who you are. You've got to admit, Garoppolo's got that thing.
No, I don't.
He does.
I haven't seen it against the best competition.
So you've exposed yourself, Murray, and your bias. Either way,
part of that intangible is not having bones made out of wheat.
The coverage of Stidham has been strong in The Athletic. Nick Underhill, just put it on the Underhills. Poor guy. How often has he had to hear that? No one even knows that reference, do they? I'm so old. No. When was Fletch put out?
What?
Yeah. What was it?
Yeah.
85?
I don't even know what that is.
Exactly. Yeah. Isn't that pathetic? Nick Underhill of The Athletic. His headline, with one impressive night. That is just like,
yeah.
he's even admitting this is with one impressive night, quarterback Jared Stidham shows he can play at this level.
Oh, my God.
It's a little strong.
Oh, my God.
Nick writes that quarterbacks either have it or they don't. Jared Stidham has it.
That's the it.
That feels like a little bit of an early analysis.
This is where I'm getting at when I say this feels like a bit of a forced narrative with Jared Stidham.
This is why I'm saying I'm not going off on Stidham. I'm going off on Bill because I think Bill has it. And I think Bill can do it, and I trust Bill to do it, and I think what I watched on Thursday night was Bill, not Jared Stidham, and Stidham might be good. I still worry, though, about that release. I'll mention it again. That windup feels like it's kind of long. It feels like he's delivering that from 2 o'clock, and that's just not classically where I want it. I like Brady and these guys right over the ear, which is where it should come out. Stidham starts back here, and that sort of has me concerned a little bit of a windup. But either way, the way that looked on Thursday, I think is about Bill and the program before the quarterback. Anyway, Underhill writes, and this is interesting, the night was particularly interesting because it played out like Stidham had set out to work his way down the list and scratch out all the negative remarks listed in his scouting reports. For example, some scouting reports said he held the ball too long during college when given the time to read the field. But that wasn't an issue Thursday. He got rid of the ball in 2.4 seconds or fewer on 14 of his attempts. He completed 10 of those, Murray. And his targets dropped 2 of the incompletions. He should have been 12 of 14. Yeah. Many of the plays where he held the ball over 3 seconds appear justified. 4 of them resulted in gains of 17, 17, 22, and 26 yards. On the others, he rolled out against legitimate pressure up the middle, took a hit, and threw a terrible pass way out of reach of any target. His other one, when he stood in against a rush and delivered a 5-yard pass to Izzo while taking a hit, was quite possibly the most significant play he made the entire game. I remember that. Scrambled out to the right, took a big shot, and made a positive play. Was that a 3rd down conversion? I can't remember. But that was an important play.
So now this kind of thing you should be encouraged by if you feel like he could be the heir apparent. So is he a type of guy? Again, talking about intangibles, X-factor stuff. Is he motivated by slights? Is this, you know, saying this writer saying he is going out there trying to essentially negate any of the negatives that have been written about him in his scouting report? So is he motivated by slights? Is he trying to silence doubters? That kind of thing. If he has that kind of it, well, that's good going
okay.
forward.
Or it could just be that Bill knows where his shortcomings are and said, you know, do this, don't do that.
Well, there's a ceiling. That's right. Like, again, you can get the best. No one's going to do a better job than Bill. He did it with Matt Castle. He's done it with Stiffs before. Again, I don't really believe in Garoppolo, so I also put him into that category. So we don't know. You know, so Stidham could be just one of these type of guys. You still have to have the it.
Underhill writes that the biggest knock on Stidham coming into Thursday's game was that he had happy feet and lacked the confidence needed to stand in the pocket. He showed against Detroit he could change that narrative, and he wasn't too spooked to confidently play the position. Absolutely. The play we just played for you, the 26-yard in-cut over the middle, stood in that pocket the entire time. Then there was a one in the second half where he hit Berrios over the middle where he stood in the pocket and took a shot. He didn't dance out. He didn't run away. He stood in there, took that shot, and delivered to Berrios over the middle. And so, well, there you go. To me, Thursday showed I'm not going to get on my knees for Stidham. I'll get on my knees for Bill. Because that's what that showed me. And he should be the guy. I just want to make sure if I'm Robert Kraft, I make sure he's the one. He's the one that's here to bring that next quarterback into existence, whether it's Stidham or somewhere else. So there's your Patriots reset to your thoughts on it at 617-779-0985 right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Shotgun formation. Stidham takes the snap, has time, throws over the middle. It is caught by Braxton Berrios. Cuts inside, gets to the 25-yard line. Another big gain for the Patriots, and another first down. Andrew Adams on the stop for the Lions.
Well, that was where you see sort of the raw ability of Stidham, because he did not have a great base here, but he still throws a nice little rocket to Berrios. Gets it there in a hurry because he's not set. This isn't like a perfect mechanic kind of throw. He was able to just kind of short arm that thing and stay in the pocket strong, put it on him there. That was a nice ball by Stidham. Good job by Berrios to get open.
That's one of those Stidham plays I was talking about. Hard not to be impressed, but I'll just say it again. I'm more impressed with Belichick than I am Stidham. Woody and Lowell, what do you think of that? Woody and Lowell, you're up first in the segment. How you doing?
Yeah, I totally agree with you on the Belichick thing. He's the guy you want leading you going forward. And I think the rest of the NFL is in trouble this year. because I think he's got a twinkle in his eye. He's teaching again. He's got a new coaching staff, and he's totally engaged. Totally engaged.
Okay, I just think he's so much better. I mean, he has a twinkle in his eye this year, but he didn't last year. What? He's just, no.
He got his groove back in the Super Bowl. He's just game plan against the Rams.
The coaching gap somehow just continues to get worse. It just continues to get worse and worse and worse.
He doesn't have to have a twinkle. He just needs to show up. And everyone else is so bad.
I think if you want to say Bill's getting better, he could be getting better. I mean, the more you learn, I mean, the more experience you have, the more failures you have, the more successes you have, the more you know what works and what doesn't. And Bill's not above learning or getting better. And so if you want to tell me he's getting better, fine, he's getting better. The coaching's getting worse. I mean, and I think, to me, that's what Thursday night shows me. Again, they had equal footing. Neither team played a ton of starters. They had a smattering of starters, mostly second and third teamers. They practiced the exact same amount of time. It's not like one team had more prep than the other. It's not like one team hit more than the other. It's not like what they practiced together on the same schedule all week and then went into the game and played essentially the same level of personnel. And one team looked like they knew how to play football. The other looked like they belonged in the American Alliance of Football, whatever that effing league was that disbanded after 10 weeks. And this is from a guy who learned at the foot of Belichick. It was supposed to bring all the Belichick stuff to Detroit. And the gap could not have been bigger. And I'm sorry, I don't think it was about necessarily the talent on the field. You have some nice talent. I don't know what Detroit's talent is. But I know the coaching gap is massive. Massive. And that next quarterback, if he can come into that world, talk about a big advantage for that guy. Tony in Stoneham, this is one of our great Brady haters out there. Go ahead, Tony.
Brady, I'm not a Brady hater.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tony. I got the wrong guy. That's a different one. But anyway, go ahead, Tony.
You are correct, but let me explain to you why, okay? As far as Brady goes, guys like Peyton Manning and a lot of others have a lot more talent than he does. Brady has the ability to win, and that comes from Belichick.
I'll tell you how it comes from him.
If Belichick doesn't get him Welker and Amendola and the guy we got now and Moss, that one year we had Moss, he don't win the championships that he won. Very simple.
He made Brady.
I
don't agree with that.
No, wrong.
He helped him. Don't tell me he didn't help him. Of course he helped him.
He put him in the best possible situation, especially coming up on both sides of the ball and with the coaching. That helped. But if Bill was this magical quarterback whisperer, well, why didn't he just go back to Drew Bledsoe back in 2001 and get the best out of Bledsoe? Because Bledsoe had better physical attributes. He had a better arm than Tom Brady. You still have to, this is the it thing, the ice in their veins. You still need to have that. That factors in. So the coaching helps, and Bill has certainly got the best out of complete bums like Matt Castle, but you still have to have the other thing that Brady has.
Brady's competitiveness is through the roof. It's all time. It can only be compared to
Michael Jordan. It's bordering on lunacy.
Right. On guys like that in other sports, in other vocations. And that Bill's nothing to do with that. Tom brought that to the table, and that's his, and that's a massive part of his greatness. But coaching has also been a part of his greatness like any other great quarterback.
Yeah.
They've usually been paired with a really good coach, and it's that marriage. So that's it. That goes back to my main point. It's the next quarterback is so important, but he's got to be paired with the right coach or it's not going to work. It's very rare that you can have a great quarterback, even if he goes with a bozo coach. That great quarterback's going to win you some games, but you're not going to be great unless the coach is great too. You're just not.
Truly unlock some of those. I mean, look, if Aaron Rodgers was here, wouldn't, you know, probably maybe have the same amount of titles maybe?
I don't think you'd have six. I think you'd have three or four.
Three, yeah.
Okay? I think you'd have multiples because I think Brady's better than Rodgers at the end of the day, so I'm not going to say they'd be equal, but you'd win a lot.
Rodgers isn't a stone cold killer like Brady. He doesn't have the ice in his veins then.
Fair, the talent is maybe the best I've ever seen in my lifetime, and he's been surrounded by complete boobs for most of his career.
I don't think Rodgers would take the coaching. I think Rodgers would get so sick of Bill's style that he'd
very sensitive,
cry and take his ball and go home. But you know, but either way, so it's not just about the next quarterback. It's I just want to make sure that Bill's here to take him and coach him. Jeff in the car, go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, how you guys doing? Quick Patriots point, a quick question for McCarthy about the Sox. Doesn't it seem like the Patriots are in the perfect position with regards to the quarterback? And doesn't it seem like they are perfectly blowing it? Brady wants to play for 2 to 3 more years, and it's going to take 2 or 3 more years to bring along the next guy. I mean, it seems like the planet have a line for the best quarterback transition possible.
Okay, and well, there's a little fly in that ointment, and that's that Tom Brady can be a free agent, and teams can offer him $35 million a year starting next year. But quickly, what's your Sox thought?
Oh, is J.D. Martinez, is this his opt-out year? And if it is, does he come back?
Martinez can opt out, to my understanding, well, most certainly after this year, next year, and the following year as well. I'm not so sure he does, because he's probably looking at American League-only teams. Maybe the White Sox are a fit there, but Martinez normally would be an opt-out candidate, but his options are going to be limited this offseason.
Okay, so are they in the perfect spot now? Let's just say, if Stidham's the guy, then yes. And they can re-sign Tom Brady? Then yeah. Yep, good spot. For this really to play out, Bill's got to be ready to go, ready to stay on board for another 5 years or so. Because if Brady's going to give us three more, you got to make sure Stidham sticks around for the three, and that Belichick is there to coach an extra. So Bill's got to go five. Brady's got to go two or three.
Honestly, Mike, I think you're saying too much. If
Stidham's got to be the guy.
If Stidham is the guy and Bill believes in him and he really does have all the intangibles and the it, then it's fine. But you also have to come to the realization Tom Brady's not going to be here next season.
Okay, now, so then the fly in the ointment, as I said to the caller, is that he's a free agent at the end of the year and someone is going to offer him. I mean, let's just bank this. Book it. Someone's going to offer him $35 million a year at the end of the year.
Yep.
Even if it's just for 1 year. There's going to be some desperate team that's, I don't know, trying to build a stadium, Vegas. Trying to fill a stadium, Vegas. One player, a quarterback away from a championship with a aggressive leadership, Elway and the Broncos. A place he wants to play, New York. I don't know. But there's going to be a team that's going to be there. And if you don't match, is Brady willing to leave all that on the table and come back here for a coach who really is ready to move on to the next guy? And if he is, we're all good. We're all good. But do you think the Kraft's going to go 2 years at 35 per or anything like that, like another team's going to do?
Yeah, no. Not when they, again, you might have been away. You do know that they offered him the incentive-laden deal again, right?
Yes, but, and he turned it down. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Kern said that last week.
Yeah.
That, yes, they offered
him. They put that piece of crap in front of him for the second straight year. Are you kidding me? What a slap in the face. And so, yeah, if he comes back to them, gives them first right of refusal. Hey, by the way, the Chicago Bears, they're done with Mitch Trubisky. They've offered me, what's this here? $37 million guaranteed. What do you say about that? Sorry, no, we can't match that. And so, he'll be gone.
So again, that's the catch. More Brady contract details seeped out over the weekend. Some interesting stuff. We'll get to it right after McCarthy's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
All right, folks, I'm going to bring you back with the DN Van Lines Moves Around the League. So brought to you by my friends at DN Van Lines, the official mover of Felger, a great resource right now for the college season. You college kids out there, you may hear me say in a different spot that you shouldn't call a friend to help you move, because I'm going to tell you something, they don't want to do it. Who wants to do that? That blows. Call DN Van Lines. They'll help you out for your college dorm move. But this is where I mention a high-profile move traded emotion around the league, and I'll just mention the Brady situation, because apparently Tom Brady was thinking like Bill Belichick during this last contract negotiation, because I've played this out in my head too, but I didn't feel like bringing it. I'm honest. I'm going to be honest. This is going to piss Jimmy off. I didn't feel like speaking it on the air, because I just don't want to hear the freaking belly aching. You know, there's some days you just don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear it. Ooh, how do you like the Jets now? But like some days you just don't want to hear it. So I didn't say it on the air. But
isn't that the job, though?
I know. And some days I'm not up to it. But
couldn't you have at least snuck it onto your FC account or something?
You're right. But this was my thinking with the whole contract negotiation. Okay, Tom, for you to accept this deal, we've got to agree not to take the franchise tag off of you. You want your freedom after this year. And this is the Patriots talking now. Okay, we're going to give you that. So now that means you're gone. Now that means we're going to lose you for nothing. Which is fine, that's your right, but if now we're going to play the maximum leverage game and be smart about this, if you're out at the end of the year, why would we risk losing you for nothing? I'm going to make a call and see, just as a thought, as opposed to you leaving us with our schmenz in our hand for nothing at the end of the year, we'll just make a few calls and see if there's a deal out there. You know, you guys are all afraid about losing Mookie Betts for nothing. How about losing Tom Brady for nothing? Isn't the principle the same?
Yeah, I mean, he is. Really,
McCarthy, isn't the principle the same?
The principle's the same, but they're different situations, and you know it.
Fine, I'll take the first clause there. That's right.
You're not going to paint me into a corner on that one, Felger. I'm not getting on that one.
Exactly. You don't want the blowback either.
No.
Jim Lelth of the Midday Show producer said this. He's their best asset. If you wanted to look at it strictly as, like, trade value, it's Tom Brady.
No. If the negotiation got real and it got maximum leverage, well, fine. You don't want us to franchise you? You want to have your freedom after the year? No problem. Then we're going to look to see to get out of this earlier and actually recoup something for you. And you know who was thinking along the same lines, apparently? Thomas Edward Brady. Because, your friend Gasper, when did he say this? We have this clip.
He said this Thursday before the preseason game. Just drops in this little nugget. Again, we know that the lack of the franchise tag, that was negotiated. But something else that Chris just slides right in there.
Go ahead.
When you look at this contract that they did, and again, you can't call it an extension because those are ghost years there. I mean, to me, I think we were all expecting any contract Brady signed to give you a measure of certainty about the future. I feel like this contract does a complete opposite, Mark. I feel like it makes everything uncertain, and I'm sorry. Like, anybody who's out there trying to say this is standard operating procedure, business as usual for Brady and the Patriots, no, it's not. This is a different situation, and I can speak to this on my end as a reporter. I think the tone and tenor have changed on both sides in terms of things that before you looked at and said, okay, these are solemn declarations. Now it's like, well, the intention is this. You know, the intention is for Tom to play till 45. The intention is for him to end his career as a Patriot. Whereas before you looked at least him ending his career as a Patriot, like, that was lock, stock, and barrel. And I know Tom Curran has said that Tom was looking for a multi-year deal. He obviously didn't get that. And I almost feel like, Mark, as a concession to not giving him the multi-year deal, they said, well, we won't franchise tag you. We won't trade you. And those are the concessions that they made to him in lieu of sort of extra years on that deal.
Concessions, plural. Okay, we knew about the franchise tag thing. We won't trade you?
They said, well, we won't franchise tag you. We won't trade you.
You silver-tongued devil. Just slipping that right in there.
Chris Gasper, too, is he?
I'm not close with the Brady camp, guys. I don't know why you always say that. Uh-huh. What do you know?
So, I bet you that's how it went, where Brady said, oh, they won't franchise me? Okay, so that means I can leave for nothing at the end of the season. Great. Well, Bill's going to want to trade my ass in that case. He's not going to leave himself. So then you can see how that played out.
Yeah.
Then so, okay, well, wait a minute now. Fine, you go on franchise. Thank you for that. We appreciate it. But we also don't want to deal with some midseason trade now, like you're trying to get out ahead of that. So I don't know if that, I mean, I doubt they put a no trade clause in writing.
Seems like a gentleman's agreement, handshake type of deal.
Do no trade clauses exist in the NFL? Have you even heard of one, McCarthy?
Not that I can think of. I mean, this is the NFL we're talking about here. The players essentially have no rights.
So I don't even know, but so did they, as part of that, did Robert say, and we're not going to trade you, Tom? Because Brady and Yee are thinking out ahead, like, okay, well, you know, if it's bare knuckle fight now, if this is real, the leverage game, then well, we want to be protected. So you could see that playing out.
I think his paranoia is justified.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. Thank you very much.
Russell Wilson apparently has a no trade.
He does. So there you go. So they do exist. Mm. Ask and you get an answer. So again, that was the DN Van Lines move around the league. Making a league move requires research and a little guesswork, something you don't need when you call my mover, DN Van Lines. A couple interesting things from Brady's interview this morning with Greg Hill across the street, as we like to say. I loved how he dodged the franchise thing, because it's really hard to, if you're trying to build this case that it is business as usual and they're here for the long term and they've treated this no different than past negotiations, it's all going to be fine. It's hard to get out of Brady asking for the franchise tag to be removed. I mean, how do you explain that? If you don't want the option to leave, why would you ask them to remove the franchise tag? And he didn't really answer anything, but this one was really dodgy. His answer was, those are some personal feelings And there's a lot of personal conversations I've had that really aren't for other people's knowledge. I think what this is about is this season and dealing with this year. Beyond this year, whether it's signing five more years or signing a franchise tag or not playing, none of those things needed to be decided this year. Well, wait a minute. If they didn't need it to be decided this year, why did you ask for them for a provision?
Yeah, why was it so important?
That would impact your contract next year. The franchise tag doesn't impact you this year. If it's just about this year, you'd let the sleeping dog lie.
And if anything, it would secure that you would still be here next year. All you would have to do is sign on the dotted line.
No, you specifically asked for a provision that impacts you next year. That's not a provision for this year.
Right.
It's a provision for next year.
No, his answer was just a word salad of nothing.
So but I do wonder if G's in there somewhere. You know, there's some personal feelings. There's a lot of personal conversations I've had that aren't really for other people's knowledge. If we're in this working assumption, and we have been, that he's also got to satiate the honey at home,
yeah,
right? Because she's a ball buster on this stuff. Is it make it a little easier on him to go home and say, well, gee, we can leave if we want? You know, well, yeah, well.
It's an easier sell. It's definitely an easier sell to her to say, hey, you know, it just, as of right now, it's just this year. And what's to say what happens next year?
And we're selling our house? we're looking in Alpine or Greenwich, Connecticut. Alex is selling his place. We can get Zoe to sell his place, and we're all going to move.
Yeah.
And we're all gone. And now the Patriots can't keep me, honey. They can't. They can't keep me if they try. So we're free as a bird, dear. We can go fly our kites or whatever the fricata thing that Brady said in that men's health interview.
So you're not going to play football in 2020. Who knows? What's to say? All I know is right now, we could be free as a bird for next year.
So I will allow for that maybe he's talking about that. Okay, but don't tell me if it's all about this year, all about this year, all about this year, why would you fight to get a provision cleaned up for your contract next year? Because that's what that's all about. And then he goes into this nonsense about how he doesn't want it to be a distraction, which is really the height of it. I mean, this guy has played and won championships in the face of Spygate, Deflategate, his tight end murdering people. Like, they've had their fair amount of distractions down there, and it doesn't really seem to impact him. Could a contract possibly fall under the radar of a distraction after what they've dealt with?
No. Even last year, Malcolm Butler benching,
right,
the Palace
Pew,
all of that. No, nobody compartmentalize and move on like this team, or at least, you know, distract themselves from all the outward noise and all that other crap.
Okay, we continue with your calls after these words.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Matt.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Fourth down and two, and the Patriots are going to go for it.
Absolutely. They're playing with some pace here. Ran back on the field quickly. Going to go for this fourth and two.
They've got four wide receivers in the game. Shotgun for Hoyer. Holden to his left. Standing at his 40. Hoyer has time. Throws. And it's complete to Berrios. 30. Gets out to the 26. They get a 26, 27-yard line, and the Patriots get the first down.
Well, that's a route by Berrios. We've seen Julian Edelman win on a million times. Danny Amendola in the time prior to that. Now Danny's on the other sideline. But bring the route inside. You can end just a little bit and then bounce out to the outside for 8 yards. So you set the defensive up, back up, and then pull it back out to the sideline. Brian Hoyer put it right on him.
That was my favorite play of the night. Favorite play of the night. That was the Edelman route. That was the Walker route. Danny, as Matt Chatham said, there, that was Roach and Dan, Matt Chatham on the call here on 98.5 The Sports Hub with Zoe and Sosi, big time in us and going to TV during the preseason. But that sort of backs up, Murray, my whole thing today about the system and Belichick bringing the next quarterback into the system and giving that next quarterback that huge head start and that huge advantage of the coaching, because that play to me is 100% about coaching. 100% about coaching. Did that go over the air, or was that just in my ear?
I think it was in my ear, too.
Okay. All about coaching. Because I have no idea. Braxton Berrios, I liked in this game, by the way. I liked him. I loved his punt returning. I'm like, whoa.
Kid looks pretty good.
I loved his punt returns. So he might be good, but I don't know, Braxton Berrios from Honey Nut Berrios. Like, I don't know. And Hoyer is, you know, just a guy. But That play was so easy. And when the Patriots run it against teams, it's so freaking easy. It's fourth and two. The other team is stumbling around like, we're going to punt. They don't get on and off the field. Meanwhile, as Chatham pointed out, the Patriots know they're going for it. They're lining up with pace. They're lining up quickly. The other team's not ready to go. You get Braxton Berrios in the slot running that option route, like sort of that inside-out move where they cut back outside. Sometimes it's against a linebacker or a safety who have no chance. In this case, there might have been a D-back in there. I can't remember who was defending it. But it wasn't even close. It was not a competitive play. And it's like you could put Jared Stidham in there. You could put Jared Hoyer in there, Brian Hoyer in there. You could put Tom Brady in there. You could put Wes Welker in there. You could put Danny Amendola in there. You could put Julian Edelman in there. Or you could put Braxton Berrios in there. The Patriots are ready to run that play, and they run that play, and they make it so look so freaking easy. And every other team you play is just not ready for it or doesn't – they don't run it themselves.
Yeah, and that's – so I think you do have to factor in the sucky competition. Granted, it is preseason, take it with a grain of salt. But I don't think the Lions are very good. I don't think Matt Patricia is a very good head coach. So let's see. It'll be better for them this week. I think they're going to get a tougher competition with Mike Vrabel and the Titans. That was maybe one of the biggest ass-kickings they've had in a while last season.
I mean, Vrabel might be one of the few coaches who will have his team ready for that little option route. Like, watch it. It's fourth and two. Watch the guy in the slot. He's going to do that inside out. Watch it. You know, because
I remember that first play, offensive play last year in Tennessee. It was a little play to James White that immediately got blown up. Like, he's ready for it. Feels like that's a well-coached team, good defense. It'll be a tough.
Well, I just think Vrabel has a clue against you, right? From what for the Definitely. Reason you said, most teams don't. No matter how many times you put that play on film, how come they can't? Why is it wide open every single? Why is it so easy?
For going on like 13, 14 years now,
it's
too.
So easy.
Cover the slot guy. Cover the slot guy. Cover 28 out of the backfield. Is it really that hard?
Watch him. Watch a guy in the slot. He's going to do the inside out thing. Watch it. Watch it. Watch it. Force him inside. Give him a shot. Don't let him outside on that. He's going to do the inside out thing. It's fourth and two. Where do you think he's going? And it's like, I don't know. The punting coach, you know, and the other team has no idea. And maybe it's, you know, harder to defend them giving credit for than how come other teams don't run it? How come the Patriots are the only team I feel like picks that up so freaking easily? But I did like that Braxton Berrios kid. And the punt returns were, to me, eye-opening. Quick, decisive, you know, caught the ball in some traffic, got upfield just about every time, made the right decision just about every time. I like the looks of that kid. But again, I think it's more about the system and the guy coaching him than the guy himself. Anyway, back to your calls, as promised. Jeff in the car. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to say, what's more plausible here? Is Stidham a, you know, franchise quarterback, or is Bill Belichick giving a third-string quarterback first-team reps because he knows that Grampy Brady is a broken hip away from a season-ending injury, and a bum Brian Hoyer is going to be the backup? Thank you, guys.
So I think he's given his opportunity because they spent a fourth-round pick on him, and he can play, and that's what you do with young players. They would do that at any position.
Right. No, if anything, I didn't like the fact Brian Hoyer got as many snaps as he did in that game. If you're going to draft this kid and you want to see if you have something with him, you're going to keep talking him up every way that people are, then put him in there.
Yeah. If this kid Stidham is really the heir apparent, how about he takes Brian Hoyer's job first? Because who started that game?
Brian Hoyer.
So who's the third quarterback on the depth chart? Jared Stidham. It's really not that hard to figure out right now.
So, again, to me, the night was not about Jared Stidham, although he might be good. It's about Belichick. Mike in Linfield. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's the system more than Tom Brady. And I think it's both of them, actually.
Yes, it's a combination. I'm just going to cut you off, Mike. It's a combination of them. It's a combination of them. That's exactly what it is. So when you go into the next quarterback, don't you want the combination? That's the whole point. You want the combination. And the next coach really scares me. If Bill Belichick is here, I'll say this. If Bill Belichick is here, the next quarterback doesn't scare me as much. It doesn't. I mean, isn't that reasonable to say?
Yeah, it's reasonable.
If Bill Belichick is your coach, you are less scared of what's next at the position, okay, than you would be if Josh McDaniels or Matt Patricia or Steven Belichick or whoever the next guy is. That combination scares the crap out of me. And so eventually you're going to have to pull the cord and rip the Band-Aid off and have a new coach anyway. Like, that's going to happen. But if Bill can draft, develop, and bring that next guy into the world, you got a pretty good head start.
Well, even if he has a suck bag, he could probably get you to 9 to 10 wins. Doesn't mean you're going to be a championship team, but, you know, he'll at least have a representative effort out there.
Thursday was just another indication. If I'm Robert Kraft, I don't let Tom Brady outlive Bill Belichick. Bill needs to be here for the next guy. That's my takeaway from Thursday. Your thoughts at 617-779-0985. No commercials, just a quick update, then we're right
back. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.